الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قل ما أسألكم عليه من أجر وما أنا من المتكلفين. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable Ulama, respected elders, brothers, children in Islam, and the honorable sisters that are listening at home, if one has to categorize our deen and all the teachings of Sharia, it is so unique that you can categorize these ahkam, these teachings, the injunctions of Allah Azza wa Jal, in five categories or five different types of a'mal. Five categories, and I'm sure we may have heard of them before. One is aqa'id, one is ibadat, another is akhlaq, another is mu'amalat, and the fifth is mu'asharat. You can take any ayat of the Quran, any hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will come under one of these five categories. Aqaid means your beliefs. Ibadat, your acts of worship, like your salah, zakat, fasting and so forth. Mu'amalat will mean your business dealings, how you trade, how you buy, how you sell, how you hire and lease, your nikah, your laws of inheritance. All that falls under mu'amalat, business dealings. Akhlaq will refer to your spiritual side, good akhlaq, bad akhlaq. That is what we generally refer to as tasawwuf. And then the fifth category is mu'asharat, which is your social conduct, your social interaction with people. Now that's not confined to your personal self. It is how you relate to others, your neighbors, people in public, people that you trade with, people that you deal with, people that you meet, people that you live. In fact, even your own wife, husband and wife, the relationship between them is one of mu'asharat. Like Allah says in the Quran al-Karim, wa'ashiruhunna bil-ma'roof. Ashiru is the Arabic term that comes from mu'asharat. So these are five categories. Now, the ayat of the Quran al-Karim that I recited falls into the category of mu'asharat. And what is quite significant to understand here, I've heard our Hazrat always mention this. He say that a people will still have some significance for aqa'id. They've got a strong perception of aqa'id, which is only right, your beliefs. And the people will do their ibadat. They will have some concern for mu'amalat. Nowadays we know Islamic finance and Sharia compliancy. That's a big thing that is coming about, mashallah. So people still got that fikr for these particular categories of the ahkam, of the laws of Sharia. But then there is a lesser significance or lesser attention paid to akhlaq, and almost nothing or almost no attention at all to the aspect of mu'asharat. And for this reason you find there are so many disputes between Muslims, so many ill feelings, hostilities that arise between neighbors, between people that meet, even between families. It is because we have neglected this mu'asharat. So this is also an equally important aspect of our deen. In fact, in the words of Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he says, it seems as if people have actually taken this out of the category of deen. It's not part of deen anymore. But it is, because so many verses in the Quran al-Karim speak about your social interaction with people. Remember, you and I as human beings, we are what they call social animals. We have to live with people. We can't live on an island isolated. So when we live with people, we are always interacting with them, meeting people on a daily basis. So this is where the mu'asharat comes in. This ayat of the Quran Kareem falls under mu'asharat. Before I translate this ayat, I must tell you one thing, that besides aqa'id, all these other four categories, or let's say the three categories, ibadat, your acts of worship, your business dealings, your mu'asharat, they all come down to akhlaq. Because you will notice a person who's got good akhlaq, his business dealings will be good, his ibadat will be good, his mu'asharat will be excellent. Hazrat Imam Muhammad rahimahullah, one of the great Hanafi scholars, he wrote a kitab. Someone asked him that, Hazrat, you never wrote a kitab, you wrote so many kitabs, but you didn't write a kitab on tasawuf, on akhlaq. So he says, no, I did write a kitab on akhlaq. That kitab's name is Kitabul Buyu', Kitabul Kasb. Kitabul Kasb, there's a special kitab which he wrote, beautiful kitab, which means the book on earnings. He says, if a person reads my book and follows what I've written there, his akhlaq automatically will become rectified, because he's going to take out from his heart the muhabbat and love for dunya. It will instill in him that love for the akhirat, love for Allah Azza wa Jal. So all these categories of deen, you can trace them back to akhlaq. And what I'm going to speak about tonight is also among those things. Allah Ta'ala says here, He tells Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, قُلْ مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ, that you must tell the kuffar, مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ, I don't ask you for payment. This tabligh that I'm doing, this da'wah work, inviting you, teaching you people, I don't want any payment from you. All I want is you must accept my message, believe it, and follow what I'm telling you. Follow me, obey my teachings, obey my commandments, obey the commandments of Allah. That's all. We don't want payment. So, ma as'alukum alayhi min ajr. All the anbiya alayhim as-salam, when they came and they made tabligh, they never asked for payment, because that was not their maqsad and their purpose. And then he says, wa ma ana min al-mutakallifin. I am not among those people who are given to takalluf. Mutakallifin, the ulama will know, comes from the Arabic derivative takalluf, the intransitive verb takalluf. Now this is what I want to explain, inshallah. What is the meaning of takalluf? I always believe and I tell people that sometimes the Quran Kareem and the Arabic in the Quran Kareem is so unique that it's so rich in meaning, you can't have one English word to translate an Arabic word of the Quran Kareem. It won't do justice. You need to expound, you need to give tafsir of that word. So tonight we will listen to the tafsir of takalluf. What is this whole thing? What is takalluf? Before I go any further, just remember one thing our buzurgs used to say, that in takalluf there's both of lot of taklif. In takalluf there is taklif. Both come from the same original letters, kaf, lam, fa. So takalluf means, let's explain it in a few ways. Practically, verbally. A verbal type of takalluf is to say something, to make a statement, or to say something that is unnecessary, and the object of that statement is to impress the next person, to impress people. Or you do something practically, you pretend to do something. Or you do something which is uncalled for, there's no need for it. You are just doing it either out of formality, or maybe you are doing it to win the admiration of people with whom you are dealing, with whom you are interacting. That is part of takalluf. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ, that I am not among those who do takalluf, I am not among people who are given to this type of akhlaq, this type of behavior, he meant that when I speak to you, I'm very simple, straightforward, down to earth and sincere. Now that is also the idea that we get from takalluf, that a person pretends, as I said just now, you pretend something. Superficially, you are giving a different message to a person. You are showing something different, But in reality, it is a different matter. You are a different person. You behave in front of people in a certain way. And behind their backs, you've got a different type of behavior. Like, for instance, when you sit with people, with some people, you will notice, if they sit with maybe ulama, or they look at the gathering, they are pious people, so they will speak a lot about the akhirat, they will speak about deen. So the impression you get is, well, this man is a very learned person in deen, a very pious person, because the way he's speaking. Then when he's speaking, when he's sitting with other friends and people that are of the dunya, now the discussion that comes forth is totally different. Now he's speaking about dunya, then he's speaking about women, then he's speaking about money, how to make money and this and that. So now you realize this person is among the people of takalluf. Because he's not straightforward, he's not sincere in his statements. Now this is part of our mu'asharat. Because many a time, now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spoke to the sahaba, when he spoke to the kuffar, there's absolutely no doubt in our minds, he was sadiqul ameen, he was sincere. If he said to them something, then it came from the heart, he meant it, and he practiced that as well. He would do what he told the sahaba to do. He wouldn't tell them one thing and do something else. And if he spoke to them, if he gave a da'wah to the kuffar, it was totally sincere for the sake of Allah. That is what is meant here, وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ, that I'm not among those who do this takalluf. I am not among people who will pretend something and assume a certain, maybe a certain appearance, a certain complexion to to my people whom I'm speaking to the observers, to the people outside, but in my heart I've got something else. This is a very important aspect of our social behavior. Sometimes, part of this takalluf, sometimes we do something, it's not deliberate. Now this is where the learning curve comes in. You might do something which is not deliberate, but you are causing takleef to the next person. Like I remember, Hazrat gave an incident of a person. Now Hazrat was speaking on this takalluf. So he says a buzruk was coming from out of the masjid. So as he was about to take his shoes from the rack and to wear his shoes, it was Friday, Juma, very hot day. So this man came and he grabbed the shoes of the buzruk, of the wali of Allah. Now why he did it? Because he wanted to make the khidmat of the buzruk. So he grabbed the shoes to say, Hazrat, let me take your shoes. The shoes were in the hand of the buzruk, but this man grabbed it out. So the buzruk says, no, I'll take my own shoes, it's not a problem. But he kept on sort of like a tug of war with the buzruk, and he wanted to take the shoes. He was like adamant that I'm going to take the shoes and put it outside for the Hazrat. And he did it. But what he failed to realize, that those of you who've been to India, Mulana will tell you, the masjids are not like our masjids. They've got a courtyard that is not covered, and it's got stone. Now that gets very hot in the summer, especially Jummah, Fridays in the midsummer. Ask people that have been there, I know that it gets extremely hot. You can't stand on that for 1 minute, not even a minute, even for 10 seconds. You can't keep your feet there. This poor Hazrat had to suffer. His feet were burning, and this man is worried about the shoes. So Hazrat says, this is now takalluf. You're giving takleef. What is the meaning of adab? If we say that you want to respect someone, you want to show your respect to someone, adab is this, that you don't cause takleef to that person. Don't give him takleef. If you give him takleef, then it is the opposite of adab. So we must realize, as it used to always say, that when you want to make khidmat of the awliya Allah, of the ulama, just make sure you know how to make that khidmat. Otherwise that khidmat becomes a cause of takleef. So look at this now. Now we take the opposite. This man was guilty of takalluf. Now take the opposite. The awliya Allah, they understood this. Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullah alayh, in his masjid in Gangoh, it was Maghrib time, and they were about to start the salah. And Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, he was the imam, he used to be the imam. So as they were about to start, the iqamat just finished, And then someone said that Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Tashreef Lai, that he has arrived. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib was a senior alim of Deoband, the Sadr Mudarris, one of the senior ulama of Deoband, a great wali of Allah. He was the ustad of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi. So he just arrived that time. So Hazrat Maulana Gangui said, Hazrat Aage told Hazrat Muhammad Yaqub Sahib that you lead the salah, go on to the musalla. So Hazrat Maulana Yaqub Sahib, now this is the simplicity. So we can understand it like this, that if a person has got simplicity, there's no takalluf in his life. So he never said, no, Hazrat, you know, I'm tired, I came from a safariya, I can't make salah, you greater than me, you go forward. He went forward onto the musalla. That's the first sign that there was no takalluf in him. He was simple, sincere. My friend told me to go forward, I'll go forward. Not that I feel I am entitled to that musalla, but the person whom I regard as greater than me put me there, so I will go forward and make the salah. So he went forward. Now in those days they used to travel, but they never used to travel by taxi or, you know, even by rickshaw or anything. They used to walk. And it happened to be a rainy season. So his feet were muddied. There was mud on his feet. So when he stood on the musalla, Hazrat Gangohi saw this man's feet is full of mud. So he went forward, he took his rumal, his shawl, and he cleaned the feet of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Now what would I do? I would jump, you know, jump like a chicken. That Hazrat, no, how can you rub my feet, clean my feet? Hazrat Maulana Yaqub Sahib stood very still, very calmly, he stood there, he waited. When his feet were clean, he says, Allahu Akbar, and he started the salah. So Hazrat says, this is what we mean by having no takalluf in your life. This wasn't done because they felt that I deserve this. It was their sincerity. This is my senior. This man puts me forward. So, this is part of our lifestyle. Simplicity in deen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-badadatu min al-iman. Simplicity is part of iman. That is where we can take out the takalluf aspect. Remember Rasulullah was commanded to say, وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ. I am not among those people who are takalluf, who make takalluf. There was one alim among the Hanafi fuqaha. Speaking of the fuqaha, just to give you an idea, a bit more understanding of this takalluf thing, the fuqaha write that a person, when he makes salah, and it is makruh for a person while making salah to make sure that his garments, to pull around his shawl, to pull his shawl around or to pull his garment up so it doesn't get soiled on the floor, on the ground. That is makruh because if you look at the reason they give, they say that there is takalluf in this. There's no need for this. Your salah should be plain and simple. It should be salah of a humble person. Likewise, they say a person in those days, you get it nowadays also people, when they dress, then they throw around their shoulders a shawl, or sometimes over the shoulder they keep a shawl. There's no purpose for that shawl. They don't use it for anything. It's just there for show. It's just there for show. So they say that is makruh because it is takalluf. You are doing something that is not necessary and it is simply there for show. Now brothers, what we must realize, especially our youth, compare this, our deen, such a beautiful deen, simple, easy to follow, very straightforward, very transparent. Compare this to the takalluf that you find in the Western culture. Those westernized people are slaves of their culture. They can't just go out anywhere and dress as they want. If I come to the masjid, I wear my kurta, my topi, I'm fine, I'm happy with that, I'm very comfortable. If they're going to for some function, they got to wear the suit and the tie. It can be how hot, they can be sweating there and boiling under that suit and tie, but they've got to wear it. What is this? They are slaves of that takalluf culture. There's so much takalluf in their culture. I'm just giving one example, but there's so many other examples. Take our women folk, our sisters and mothers, daughters must listen to this. When they go in a certain gathering, there's a function, they've got to wear a new dress. How much that dress will cost? The shoes that they wear, how much that will cost? But because it is the norm of that society, it is a trend. And we are bound, we are sort of enslaved to that trend. They must wear it. That is now takalluf. You can't just dress ordinarily and a simple dress and say, right, I'll go. and I'm comfortable in this. No, it has to be a certain, they've got certain norms, certain etiquette, which is all part of their culture, their fashion. Now we as Muslims, if we go over to that type of takalluf, we are leaving hold of our deen, our sunnah. In that sunnah, there is so much simplicity. There is no takalluf in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like I was giving the example of this Hanafi faqih, this alim. You must remember these fuqaha. The word fuqaha comes from the word fiqh. Fiqh means to have a deep understanding of deen. And definitely these fuqaha, the jurists of Islam, they understood the deen very deeply. So one of them, there was a stage in his life where when he used to go to toilet, he was overtaken with such shame that he would cover his face. He would take a shawl and cover his whole face and answer the call of nature, make his tinja. When he comes out of the toilet, he removed that shawl. Now that was obviously a hal, a state, a spiritual state that they came into where they felt that Allah is looking at us. We feel ashamed to expose our bodies. But after a few months, he told his murids and his students, he says, you know, I was doing this for a certain while. Then I thought to myself, this is takalluf, because a person greater than me never did it. The greatest human being on earth just went to, made istinja in a simple way. So why must I do this? So I discarded this practice and never go back to this again. Now, these are all signs of how people, these people showed us in a practical way what this takalluf is, and that takalluf has got no part of Islam. It has no part in Islam. It has to be removed from our lifestyle. Now this is a teaching that you will only get, dear brothers, when you live with someone, when you interact with someone who's been through, who knows, who's got a deep understanding of deen. Otherwise, we grow up in a society, we see so many things of takalluf around us, we won't understand whether this is part of deen or not, whether it is part of takalluf or not, until you associate with ulama, with people, and you associate with people that are simple, people that live these simple lives. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three things, and I just want to go through this hadith, a beautiful statement, where he explains what is this takalluf. In fact, four things that come in the hadith. The one is this. He says that a person, a sign, inna min alamati takalluf, among the signs of takalluf in a person's life, yunazi'u man fawqahu. That person will always dispute and argue with people higher than him. In other words, he won't accept authority. Someone senior will tell him something, he's not satisfied with that, he will argue against that person. If someone has got this sign, it's a bad sign. And it is also attributed to nifaq and hypocrisy. The second thing, yata'ata ma la yanaluhu, a person will endeavor and go all out to achieve something that he knows that he cannot achieve. Now understand this nicely. One is this, that you want, you got an ambition in life. You got a certain vision. I want to do this. I want to achieve this. Maybe this degree or this particular type of business or this type of earning. So Allah allows you to make the effort. There's nothing that prevents you. Sharia gives you complete freedom. You're at liberty to adopt all halal means to achieve that objective. But then a time comes in your life when you know that I've tried and I failed. But your pride in you doesn't accept this. You can't accept the fact that I have failed. Now you go through all lengths and you will do things, you'll go out of your way to do things to achieve that objective. And many a time a person suffers quite a lot of difficulty in life because he can't achieve that objective that he sets out. One of the worst things that can happen is a person suffers depression. They become so depressed because their objective was so high, they couldn't reach it, and hence they suffered this depression. So that's the second point. It's a sign that a person is given to this quality of takalluf. The third thing is that he will say things that he doesn't know. He will make statements about things that he's got no knowledge of. And this is also very serious. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say that part of ilm is to say la adri, that I don't know. And that is, he says, if a person is asked a question And he doesn't know the answer, but he still makes an effort and he tries to give an answer. That is a sign of takalluf. And he says, this is what Allah has prohibited in the Quran Kareem. Those are three things that appear in one hadith. Three signs of this quality of takalluf. The third, the fourth one is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually went so far, hadith of Tirmidhi and other kitabs, and it is a sahih hadith. He says that inna Allah ta'ala yubghidu al-thartharin al-mutashaddiqin. He says Allah detests and Allah dislikes and Allah despises those people. He uses two words, the one describes the other, thartharin and mutashaddiqin, people who will adorn and who will decorate and adorn their speech with flowery language just to impress the listener. That is also part of takalluf. And you find this in our lives today. You find it among people. One is, a person is naturally, he speaks. That's his natural way of speaking. It's not something that he has now made an effort to learn just to impress people. You know, some people, they are, we call them very glib talkers. They will speak, they're so smooth talkers. They speak something to you, just listen and you believe whatever they say. A person can tell you a lie, but he's so good in that lying that he will make it seem like a reality. Many a times I've come across many cases. We are sitting here. I'm sure a lot of husbands are here, a lot of wives are listening. Allah Ta'ala guide us. We come across cases where husband and wife, and this you find mainly in the husband, he's got such an ability to speak that when he speaks to his wife, if he has an argument, he's so good that if he is in the wrong, he can turn that whole thing around and make the wife the guilty party, and he is now completely innocent. And the wife goes back, she sits back now in the night, she says, you know, maybe this man is right, man. Maybe I'm wrong and this man is right. Maybe it's true what he's saying, that I'm to blame. Now this is part of takalluf. You are doing things that is not the reality in Sharia. And those husbands that are given to this evil quality, they must make tawbah unto Allah. It is a sign of nifaq and hypocrisy. They must realize that what they are doing is, they are wrong, they committed the sin, they committed the mistake, they know it, but to deflect the wrong from their lives, they will use their glib talking to make the wife feel guilty, like we say, put her on a trip of guilt, and make her feel that no, she's wrong, and eventually she just keeps quiet, no matter what that man does. So, that is part, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, when he mentioned this hadith, one meaning of this hadith, inna Allah ta'ala yubghidu thartariyin al-mutashaddiqin, it means people that will deliberately decorate their speech, speak in such flowery language, and such fancy terms to impress the listeners. That is not what Sharia teaches. When we speak, it comes in the hadith that Rasulullah alayhi salam, when he used to speak, when he makes a statement, he would say something very clearly and say it three times so the listeners are not left in any doubt. And he himself used to, in one hadith, he prohibits people from saying things that will confuse others. They say things that will put others into confusion. So this is also part of the takalluf which we must avoid, we must take out of our lives. What we all need to do is just understand this, my life must be simple. What is in my heart, what I speak should be in my heart. If I say something to a person, if I give a person my word, I make a statement, it mustn't be just to impress that person or to make that person happy. If I can't say something, rather keep quiet, rather maintain silence. But if I'm going to say it, make sure that I will speak in a way that it reflects what is in my heart, the ikhlas and the sincerity. Live a sincere life, live a life of simplicity, a life that is, live a life that shows you are transparent, a life that shows you respect other people, and inshallah, through this, you will understand, you will get this takalluf out of your life. Like I mentioned just now, that takalluf has got takleef. If you live a life where you respect another Muslim, you don't give takleef to another person. This is your fikr, and inshallah, you will find Allah Ta'ala will guide you to doing things that are avoid and that are devoid of takalluf. Like when they asked Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, or it was Abu Bakr or Abbas, one of the two, they were elder than Rasulullah alayhi salam. So they asked him, that are you bigger or is Rasulullah bigger? You know, we say like this man is bigger than you. So he says, huwa akbaru minni wa ana asan. Huwa akbaru minni, he is bigger than me, he is greater than me, but I am older. Because the question was, are you older? But it was just a different use, a different term that was used. So he says, no, he is greater than me in rank. Ana asannu, but I am older. So when one of my ustaz mentioned this, and he said that, where did Hazrat Abu Bakr or Hazrat Abbas learn this type of adab? Was there any kitab that was written on adab and respect? No. It was the love that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Automatically, Allah ta'ala put in their mind that you speak in this way, this respectful, and using these adab and terms of respect. So inshallah, if a person is sincere, you don't pretend things, you don't assume airs, you don't want to deliberately fool people, and your life is simple, your dressing is simple, your speech is simple, your whole way of behavior is simple, you find Allah Ta'ala guides you to saying the right thing and doing the right thing. Rasulullah alayhi wasallam also said that Rahim Allah, he made a dua. We make dua, Allah Ta'ala gives us the benefit of this dua. He says, Rahim Allahu rajulan samhan idha ba'a wa idha ashtara wa idha qtaba. That may Allah have mercy upon a man who is simple. Samhan, when he sells, when he buys, when he sells, when he demands payment, everything he does is very simple and in a straightforward way, and a way that is respectful and filled with adab and respect for another Muslim. So this is where we need to understand where we will get rid of, how we will get rid of this takalluf. And again, I say that inshallah, if you keep company with people that are simple, you will notice this is another sickness in us. Allah Ta'ala rid us of this sickness. We like to keep company with people that are very showy. People that are given to ostentation, that are show-offs, and people that are, you know, like we say, like, what's that word they use, like playboys, and people that are talked about, celebrities. We like to keep company with them. Now that is a bad habit, because you are going to develop the same qualities in them. Like that man dresses, you will want to dress in the same way, like he talks, like he behaves. But if you keep company with simple people, with people that are down to earth, tawadu, humility, you will develop the same habits, the same qualities. I advise our parents, take your kids, your children, your sons, take them to those people that are humble, that are simple, that are straightforward, and see how nice those children will grow up. Especially our mothers, I advise them, your daughters, don't let them keep company with high-flying people in society. Let them keep company with people that are simple, down to earth. And inshallah, those girls will grow up with that humility, with that tawadu. And I tell you, I promise you, dear brothers, my sisters, that if a girl in any society, when the girls in a society grow up with that humility, with that simple life, with simplicity, inshallah, you find that is a great sign. It is one of the great bases on which that society will build their iman and their akhlaq and their taqwa, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala guide us. I request du'as from the brothers here. Tomorrow, inshallah, I'll be leaving, driving down to Port Elizabeth to make du'a, inshallah, that Allah takes us safely and Allah accepts the little bit of work we did here while we were in Durban, and alhamdulillah, wherever we went, mashallah, the people, they say P is a friendly city, like Maulana Muhammad will tell you. But I think Durban is even friendlier, mashallah. So, P is a friendly city. Durban will be the friendlier city, inshallah. So, make dua that Allah makes our suffer easy. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salatu wassalamu ala ashrafil mursaleen wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa ahli baytihi ajma'in. اللهم لك الحمد شكرا ولك المن فضلا اللهم لك الحمد ولك الشكر اللهم لك الحمد في الأولى والآخرة اللهم لك الحمد كالذي تقول وخير مما نقول اللهم لك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا اللهم لك الحمد حمدا لا يريد قائله إلا وجهك لا يريد قائله إلا وجهك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا محمد وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير، بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك، وأتمم علينا نعمتك، وأسبغ علينا من فضلك، واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك، ولا تنسنا ذكرك، ولا تهتك عنا سترك، ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا، اللهم أكرمنا ولا تهنا، اللهم أعزنا ولا تذلنا، اللهم أعطنا ولا تحرمنا، اللهم آثرنا ولا توثر علينا، اللهم أرضنا وارض عنا، اللهم أرضنا وارض عنا، اللهم أرضنا وارض عنا، اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وأنت خير الغافرين، اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وأنت أرحم الراحمين، اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا، اللهم اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم نستغفرك من كل ذنب ونتوب إليك، اللهم نستغفرك من كل ذنب ونتوب إليك، اللهم نستغفرك من كل ذنب أذنبناه عمدا أو خطأ سرا أو علانية، ونتوب إليك من الذنب الذي نعلم ومن الذنب الذي لا نعلم. اللهم نستغفرك من الذنب الذي تبنا عنه ثم عدنا إليه. اللهم نستغفرك من نعم التي تقوينا بها على معصيتك. اللهم نسألك من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك. اللهم إنا نسألك أن نخشاك كأننا نراك أبدا. اللهم نسألك أن نخشاك كأننا نراك أبدا يا الله. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها، أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. واهدنا يا الله إلى صالح الأعمال والأخلاق، فإنه لا يهدي إلى صالحها ولا يصرف سيئها إلا أنت. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. اللهم انصر المسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم اغفر لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم، اللهم أعنهم ولا تعن عليهم، اللهم امكر لهم ولا تمكر عليهم. اللهم اغفر لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وألف بين قلوبهم، وأصلح بينهم، وأصلح ذات بينهم، وجعل في قلوبهم الإيمان والحكمة، وثبتهم على ملة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأوزعهم أن يشكروا نعمتك التي أنعمت عليهم، وأن يوفوا بعهدك الذي عاهدتهم عليه، وانصرهم على أعدائك وأعدائهم. إله الحق لا إله غيرك، لا إله إلا أنت، سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت، سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت، سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. اللهم نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله.